Hey there, before we get into the episode, we have a Patreon page, and if you help us reach our goal, we will start releasing mini midweek episodes with Hallie, Ross, and Gray just for you Patreon supporters. That way you won't have to wait all the way till Sunday for some mega. It's Hallie Labonte welcoming you to Inside Twin Hills, the podcast. I'm a weekend producer at Twin Hills Community Church in Broad Ripple, Indiana, and we have such an awesome staff that I'm bringing them all on here, one by one, so you can be blessed by them as well. I want to let you know what God is doing around our mega church, Twin Hills. Well, you know what? I'm not on here alone. I've got a Jacob and I've got an Esau here with me, and I won't tell you which one is Esau because he was so hairy that Jacob tried to impersonate him by putting on lamb's wool. I mean, that's one hairy guy. And I'm just going to say, I'm not going to say which one of these guys is hairy and which one is like a little newborn pink fleshy baby hamster. Please welcome my co-hosts, Russ Campbell and Gray Haas. Hi, guys.
Gray Zisaw.
Hey, right, okay.
This hairy all right. Guy.
Well, I do groom it, so I do try to keep it nice and shaped.
Our first segment is called Too Blessed to Be Stressed. So, hey, give us the news, guys. Why are you both too blessed to be stressed?
Oh, man. Well, solo flight is it's going well. We're meeting twice a week now. We're splitting up men and women. So the women meet on Tuesdays and the guys meet on Thursdays, which is great. And I get filled in on what happens on Tuesday with the women. And then I meet with the guys.
And now how does that work when you need to find some crossover to see if there's any match?
We're watching actually the same video series.
Oh, great. What is that?
It's called You're Not Alone. I'm here with you. Take the time.
Great.
It's from the 90s. It's dated. I'll bring it over. It's very funny. It's very funny.
And what's the crux?
I'm sorry?
What's the crux?
I'm not understanding the question.
Oh, the crux of the videos.
I'm not, Hallie. Like what's it about?
Yeah.
Oh, let me think. Mainly it's about, like I say all the time, that you are alone in this world. And that you need to keep in mind that the Lord is going to be with you through the good times and the bad times. And I think 2018, I'm going to say it, is probably the hardest time to date. You have the apps.
Yeah.
You have people. So I've heard of ghosting stories.
Uh-huh.
And it's so one of those painful things where you have to realize that you are going to be on this boat alone and you have to be pushed off and be by yourself.
I've heard of these ghosting stories too. So that's where somebody falls in love with a ghost and then they realize it's not real.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sad.
Well, that NCAA football player, that Tia Tamua, the Tahitian guy, played for Hawaii.
Right. And he's
6 years. He was dating this girl, bought a ring and everything.
And she was a ghost.
Yeah. Found out live on TV that she was a ghost.
Wow.
So sad. I mean, it's tough out there.
Here's the thing. I wouldn't wish it on anybody, even if I had the power to. I wouldn't wish it on anybody to date nowadays.
Yeah.
It's awesome. The worst.
Yeah. I wouldn't even know how to swipe, left or right or whatever. I don't want to do it. I can't do it.
Can you imagine looking at a face and be like, no, yes, no.
And I think it keeps people in pain. You know what I mean? I think it makes them feel real bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
It's hard.
Great. Where'd you get the tank?
This is from Forever 21.
I love that.
Oh, I was going to think you did a screen print of that because you've been making so many tees yourself, original tees.
So I've been buying different t-shirts from around the mall, and basically I like to screen print different templates on just to see how they work, and it's sort of R&D type thing. So this one, I've got a crown of thorns, and then what's really fun is I've got a thumbs up through the crown of thorns, and I just feel like those juxtapositions of the crown of thorns around a thumb is really
like a human thumb, or like an emoji.
It's going to be a probably. Oh, that's a great idea.
Like
maybe
a yellow one. Make it neutral.
Yeah, that's great. A yellow neutral thumb. That's cool. Awesome.
And did you cut the sides a little deeper?
Or sides a bit deeper because right now I'm doing this new program, and it's a plyometric program where I don't eat for 3 days, but then I do 2,000 sit-ups a day.
Plyometric program where you don't eat. Okay.
So I don't eat for 3 days, and then I binge for 2 days.
Awesome.
So for 2 days, I'm eating anywhere between 15,000 and 30,000 calories. But then, and basically what it does is it shocks your body. Your body gets to this place where it's very confused. And then what happens is it all basically suctions up together and all, right now, look, I'm not missing a rib.
Hold on.
Adam here.
Are those panther eyes coming out of the rib cage? Is that a tattoo?
Okay, this is not actually a permanent tattoo. This is a
temporary.
It's a temporary.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, thanks.
That's amazing.
I would never get a real one because, you know,
by the temple.
Well, that's right. And if God wanted something on the temple walls, he would have put it there.
Yeah, he would have given you a big red birthmark on the
That's right. And he painted mine white, and that's the way it's going to stay.
Don't know what that part of the man's body is called. Are those called lats? What is that right there? What is this part of the male?
The side.
We call these lats, but what I'm really trying to get is striations. Ooh. And striations are basically when your body's so shocked, it looks like a tiger has basically done a bit of a claw mark across your skin. And I just kind of want that striated look.
Yeah.
Just as a personal challenge.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I like how much you get into the working out and the protein and the all that. You're real intentional. I like it.
It makes you interesting. Makes you real interesting.
God bless.
Yeah.
So this week in Climax, we had a really interesting week because this week I asked all my kids, hey, if there's anything on your mind, you can put it on paper, you can write it down, you can put it in this box.
Awesome.
And I'll go ahead and pick them out, I'll read them, and I'll see if I can address them in front of everyone, so then you stay anonymous, but also I might be helping you with your questions.
That's right.
Yeah.
Of course, there was a girl who wrote in, and she said that last week at Ignite, which is a one-night overnight that happens in Indianapolis where they get 5,000 kids inside an arena to all...
Right, yeah. They had Detlef Schrempf speak at that, right?
Yes.
The Pacer.
Yes.
That's awesome.
It was awesome. And they have like great the speakers. It goes all night. They have a lot of great music. And she said at Ignite that she had an experience with another girl.
Were they staying at the hotels?
They were staying at the hotels, yeah. And I...
What kind of experience?
I think she was basically confused and saying, I had these feelings for another girl. And I was like, you know what? We've all had different feelings. We've had hunger, anger, sadness, happiness. But this one is probably not a feeling that you can really deal with. And what you got to do is you got to ask that feeling to go away and you got to put your eyes back on the prize, and that is Christ. And you know what? I think it helped.
You know what? You should keep an eye out for a nice guy who's looking for a nice girl, and you could introduce the two of them.
Absolutely.
I mean? Or not date. That's what I did. I didn't date in high school.
Right. And then you get
all of college, too.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, you're really too young anyway. You're not emotionally mature enough.
And then I always end with a little bit of a liturgical song and a dance that I've been working on. So I'll get the prayer flags. I'll do a liturgy where I'll come up with a phrase, a simple phrase like prepare the way of the Lord.
And then what does that sound like?
So it's kind of like, I think this last week when I did it was like, prepare the way of the Lord.
Awesome.
Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. And then I'll jump or I'll do a prayer flag. And I think it really helps the kids.
Great. And that was awesome.
Oh, thanks, guys.
And you're doing the spiritual dance the whole time with the prayer flags as you do that?
Right. And so now you guys know why I'm working on the lats.
Oh, that is powerful.
You still a waist size 28?
Yeah, waist size 28.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That is so powerful.
Thanks. How about you, Hallie?
Oh, I'll tell you what. Well, our weekend services had an incredible series of drama vignettes this weekend.
Did you catch
the drama?
It was amazing. I went back to back service. I loved it that much.
You know what? They were dark and they were real. And I just feel like, you know what? We had a girl playing a character who was on drugs doing a monologue about the darkness that you feel when you're far from Christ. And we had her set, you know, the whole props department, we had her set by a dumpster behind a dive bar. And, you know, then we had that girl crouching by the toilet. It was a prop toilet, but she was talking about how her bulimia isn't helpful and she's searching for and seeking something deeper and a longing for Jesus. And then we had the guy in the hotel room waiting for the call girl to show up. And it was just such a visceral moment where I was like, wow, I am so proud of us at Twin Hills that we are not afraid to look at the real life stuff and lay it before our Father in heaven. And I hope you were there this weekend because the drama vignettes were really powerful. Yeah. I feel like we just went for it and we said, this is what it feels like to be a human being who is an imperfect follower of Christ, who is laden with sin and still putting one foot in front of the other and trying to be more Christ-like every day.
That's awesome. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, I think, you know, it would help people like that if they just did 3 days off, 2 days on like I do.
Right.
Where you're really on those 2 days, you can eat 20, 30,000 calories and it could really shock your system back into wanting to eat more regularly.
Let's move on to our next segment, Too Anointed to Be Disappointed, where we welcome today's guest, because just like when Jesus was born and he was visited by wise men from the east and shepherds from the fields, today we're visited by someone bearing gifts, the spiritual gift of encouragement, if you ask me. Please welcome Phil Barton under our corrections ministry, who leads up our Juvies for Jesus and the Bad Seeds ministry. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Hey,
how's everybody doing?
Hey, Phil, it's really great to have you. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Absolutely. My first time on a podcast.
Oh, wow.
You got a great radio voice. Well, podcast voice.
Yeah, you do.
Okay. Yeah, well, when you asked me to be on it, I said, what's that? Is that a radio show? And then you said, kind of.
Yeah,
and that's, we get that a lot. It's hard to explain.
It's kind of what it's like.
Yeah. So tell us a bit about yourself, Phil.
Where
are you from?
Sure. Well, I was a detective Gary, Indiana Police Force for 18 years.
And Gary is a rough city, right? I mean, you probably saw some stuff.
I saw some stuff.
Yeah.
You're darn right I saw some stuff. I mean, any cop anywhere is going to see some stuff, I saw some stuff.
Were you on patrol? You're out in the car? You got all the stuff
I started. I was a beat cop for a number of years. I moved my way up to detective.
Your own car?
Yeah, I got my own car. My father was a cop, and that probably helped things out a little bit.
Wow.
But
same car? Yeah. Same car as your dad?
No. They retire the cars.
Oh, okay.
As you get new ones. They got SUVs now?
Now they do, yeah. Now they've got SUVs, I'm sure of that. But, I didn't have one.
What,
I had
did you
a regular.
Have a Cutlass?
It was a Caprice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A Chevy Caprice. Uh-huh. That was the standard issue for cops when I was on the force. And then cut to, it's been about 6.5 years. I've been down here in Indy and working with you fine folks here.
Has it been that long?
Wow.
Awesome. Well, I've been in Indy that long. It's been, what, four?
With 20 years.
Okay. Well, still, four is quite a few years.
Yeah, yeah. Not to dig into on the car thing too much, but you know what I really think is cool about the security the security here at the church is that the new cars that they got this year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's really cool.
You know what we need?
Well, that's the
we
thing.
Need them. Because people think it's too much, but we need them.
I mean, all Suburbans, all armored Suburbans.
Yeah,
that's the thing. And, you know, not to toot my own horn, but, you know, when you have the connections that I have in law enforcement, I'm able to make deals with different local police forces.
Are you the one that got us the armored Suburbans?
Well, I don't want to, you know.
You're the anonymous donor?
Here's the thing. You know, all of these, all this equipment, all these vehicles and so forth that are making their way from the military to the local police forces, if you know the right people, you can get some of that equipment, some of those vehicles right here at the mega church. And maybe, just maybe, I was the guy that made that happen.
Oh, thank you. I think it's so neat. So neat.
It looks so cool with the emblem, the Twin Hills emblem on it.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard a few people complain that the Twin Hills emblem, that it looks a little bit like, you know, the breasts of a woman.
Oh, well, that's on them. That's on them.
But that's not the,
It makes me sick, to be honest. When you look at something pure and then you try to make it into something it's not, that really makes me sick.
Disgusting.
You know? Really sick.
We were watching this thing, and it was about volcanoes erupting. Okay. And people were giggling, like, oh, that. And you know what?
Now why? Why were they thinking that, though? What's
funny about that? It's terrifying when a volcano erupts.
My mind doesn't even go there, but they put it in my mind by, like, it's like a sexual thing because that's
really?
What happens.
Oh, my
when you
land.
Get, and I was like, guys, this is not the time. Okay, this is about creation.
How could you ever think that?
Right, and if you think about, you know, with a volcano, kind of the terrifying part of it is when it erupts.
Yeah.
Right? And when the lava comes out.
Right.
And now if you're, you know, if you're imagining two volcanoes, the image of that being similar to a woman's bosom.
Sure, yeah.
Well, what comes out of a breast?
Lava. Well,
take it back.
Just milk for the baby?
Milk. That's milk for the baby. So I don't know how that's
right. And what
dirty.
There's nothing sick about that. There's nothing sick about
that. That's lifeblood.
The most natural thing in the world. That's how we exist.
Right.
Well, I'm glad that's a minority thought.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you something funny, Phil, because you probably don't know my son. He's a teen. His name is Day, but he is on the straight and narrow.
Well,
Yeah. Do you know Day?
No, I don't. Good. No, you don't. You don't want me to know your
exactly.
kids, right?
Exactly.
Because the kids that I deal with, these are not good kids. Good.
But I'll tell you what, he has a joke where every time he sees one of the armored vehicles coming around the campus of the church, he always does this thing where he hits the deck and he goes, "We're under attack!" And he, you know, because it feels like we're at war. You know, like we're good. Under. He thinks it's real funny.
That's fun,
Meredith. Whenever the security SUV pulls up, Meredith goes, "Well, here's my ride," and I go, "Yeah, get in."
Oh, you'd be devastated if she.
I miss her. I really would.
Yeah.
But that's probably, honest to gosh, that's probably a good idea on the part of Day to hit the deck, because then the anyone in that car knows that that person is not a threat. So that's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea.
You can never be too. Safety never takes a holiday. That's what I say.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
Now,
I say
Phil,
the same.
Tell us a little bit about your ministry, because, you know, I work with the best, the cream of the crop around when it comes to the kids.
Yeah, you do.
And or the seniors. And if there's trouble, you know, usually we can take care of it ourselves, but there's a whole subset, a whole other strata of kids that are a different breed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those are the kids that you're dealing with.
You're talking about delinquents.
Right.
You're talking about bad children, violent in some cases.
Wow.
You're talking about people who have bad ideas running through their head. Mm-hmm. So when I got started here with the ministry, it was initially just with the older kids and some of the kids, that the age of the kids that you deal with at Climax over there. That was Juvies for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that was largely teenagers on down to tweens. You know, you can imagine the kind of issues that I was dealing with.
Oh, sure.
Graffiti.
Ugh.
People dabbling in controlled substances.
Sure.
Sure. Right?
Sick.
Contraband.
It happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Daggers.
They get it.
What?
They
right?
get into this.
Daggers.
Stuff. They do.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Switchblade knives.
Yep.
People with illicit firecrackers.
Okay, Phil, let's say hypothetically I'm a 16-year-old. Okay. I have a backpack full of switchblades. Yeah. I got a heavy hammer. And a bunch of Black Cat fireworks in my backpack.
Okay.
I'm busted. I'm caught. First time offense.
Okay.
And I'm brought to you. Gray finds me at church camp, and he says, "I got a guy. Yeah. You're going to have to meet with Phil."
First, mm-hmm. I'm going to pray over you, and then I'm going to send you to Phil.
Of course.
Okay. So we got a backpack with some switchblade knives. And we're not talking about the ones that look like a switchblade, but it's just a comb.
Uh-uh. These are the real deal.
This is a legitimate knife.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And you said a heavy hammer.
Uh-huh.
And some Black Cat firecrackers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Half a baker's right. dozen.
Well, yeah. You know, the kind of stuff I deal with, all right, some Black Cats, you know, if I had to roust every kid who had, you know, a few Black Cats in his backpack, I'd never get any work done, okay?
Yeah.
Obviously, Indiana is a right to fireworks state, and, you know, a bit of a problem. You know, they're not always checking IDs. So you're going to get 14-year-olds. You're going to get 13-year-olds who just go right up to the store and they buy firecrackers and Black Cats, okay? As long as it's not a big arsenal they've got, and as long as they're not carrying, you know, collecting those, you know, the big multi-charge, the big rockets, that kind of thing.
Yeah, the
right?
TNTs.
Then that's not that bad. But the one thing that's sticking out right there to me is those switchblade knives.
Yeah.
That is a dangerous weapon,
right?
Yeah. A very dangerous
it
weapon.
Really
so, we're gonna sit you down, me and my colleague Mark. Okay, he's more the good cop. I'm more the bad cop.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
You've seen the routine before,
so
I'm sure.
Thing.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Wow.
And I'm gonna sit you down, and we're gonna question you 6 ways from Sunday, the day of the Lord.
Wow.
And we're gonna find out where in tarnation did you get that knife. Those knives.
And that's going to be on church property.
Absolutely. Okay. That's on church property.
But out near the grounds shed.
Yes. It's right. out near the stables. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of removed. And I find it helpful because it's not a place where any of these kids have been before. So
right.
it's a little bit disorienting.
It's scary.
All right? Scary.
Yeah.
And they don't know when they're getting out there. And newsflash, you're not getting out there until I hear what I want to hear. And that is, where'd you get the knives? How'd you get them? A lot of times... my older brother gave it to me. I took it from my older brother. Something like
sure.
that, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to get the whole story. I'm going to get the full scoop, and I'm going to make up a report. I'm going to forward that on to whomever needs to know it. Obviously, the parents. If it's law enforcement, I will bring them in as well. And I usually debrief with Gray if it's someone that that was in the Climax group as well.
And I love getting those dossiers. I get a very full report.
That's right. We have Gray and I have a wonderful working relationship.
Wow,
I feel.
Yeah. And Gray, what's a dossier?
A dossier is right now it's
like
a
file folder?
It's a large file folder, Manila folder that that Phil sends over. And what's really cool about it is he not only gives a backstory of the kid that he's working with, but he also gives a full transcript of the entire confession.
Yeah.
And sometimes a videotape. And what awesome. We're looking at sometimes looks very much like, you know, it's fun because I just saw that movie, Syriana. And when I watched Syriana, I was like, oh, okay, now I see the type of tactics that he's using because, you know, to get a confession out of these kids, you got to put a little fear in them.
Like interrogation type stuff?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. And soon enough, and the younger they are, soon enough they're going to spill the beans because they are terrified.
Well,
okay,
I guess that's right where you want them, right?
Yeah, I got a line. Maybe you guys will think this is funny because the kids don't usually think it's very funny. But when I really get in that spot where I'm sensing some fear on their part, I usually say, "How would you like it if I went ahead and did a water into winer boarding?"
Okay. If I was 15 and I heard that, I would just bust a gut.
So you would think that's fun. You would think that's fun.
But they're awesome. Scared of that.
They are terrified because they watch the news and they know what that's all about. And that is terrifying. And I usually get the information that I'm trying to get.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I guess I have to ask this question, Phil, because, you know, everything we do here is so important for these kids, for these people that come.
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to look at what are the bigger themes that are running through. And sometimes you look at these kids and you go, yeah, sin is real.
Mm-hmm.
Sin is real at the earliest age, and we are born into sin.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much evident when you see these kids who are bringing these firecrackers in a bag. You're like, hey, sin is real, and it's at work here.
Yep. Sin is real. Sin is real, and it's contagious.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Because once you got one, and then they show the other one, and then they show the other one, and then you got a whole pack of young kids who are no good. And that's what I see more with the Bad Seeds program. Now that's any single digits. So 9 on down to 0.
What's the youngest kid you've had in Bad Seeds?
That was my question.
5.
Okay, wow.
Wow.
5.
Very young.
And what was their offense? What did they do at age 5? Well, what are the worst things you've seen from a 5-year-old?
You're going to see, obviously, you're going to see with a lot of these young kids, you're going to see slapping. You're going to see hitting.
Okay. Yeah.
You're going to see
assault.
Biting.
A lot of assault. Yeah.
Yeah. Low grade assault.
That is assault.
Yeah.
A bite. Uh-huh. A bite. A 5-year-old is going to break the skin.
Yeah.
No problem.
Oh, they got molars. Yeah.
Poking. A lot of pokings, scratchings. Okay. Yeah. Bullying type of
they're using
behavior.
The tools that they have.
And, wow. and when it gets a little bit dangerous is when you get the little. The little arsonists, okay?
Ooh.
The little...
They do love that
the
stuff.
Little,
we got all that hay.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot of hay. We got a lot of flammable material. Mm-hmm. When you get the little... The ones who are hoarding matches and lighters, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe their older brother smokes cigarettes or maybe something worse.
Ugh.
Okay? And they start building up a stockpile of matches, right?
Wow.
And you, as you pointed out, we got a lot of hay on the grounds.
There is a lot of hay around.
It's an enormous amount of hay.
I thought it was because of all the mulch, because we really have done a great job of mulching all
the berm.
There's a berm as you right next to the sign with the berm.
Yeah.
It looks really nice with the new mulch, and I thought the hay was for the mulch, but now there's so much hay around. I'm like, guys,
it's for a lot of the horses at the stable, right?
Right.
Yeah,
we got rid
of 15 of them. I think we have 3 back there now. We had to sell them for that new wing.
That's right.
Oh, right.
We have 3, but I don't think we need that
much hay. And then the hay, but it's visible. It's out there. It's not by the stables. Yeah, and you wonder, did somebody, who made the decision? Why is it, what is it, like a decorative hay?
Yeah.
I mean,
But right. I'm sure you see kids who, a lot of kids are just curious. They're like, what is this?
Sure.
And they're lighting matches or whatever. But you're seeing the kids who are intentionally, it's premeditated.
No.
Is that the thing?
That,
they know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing. And listen, you look in their eyes and you can tell that's a bad seed.
Wow.
That's I can see that one's got some evil.
Yeah.
Born into them.
You feel the dark presence.
Oh, yeah.
You feel the dark.
Yeah.
You feel the evil one at work, frankly.
Yep.
Now, how much of it do you think comes from, is it parenting? Is it just that the evil one has a grip on certain souls from the beginning? What is it?
I think it's a combo. I think it's a combo platter because some kids left to their own devices, right? Idle hands or whatever. Or you got parents who aren't paying attention.
That's right.
And not, you know, putting the kid on the straight and narrow.
That's right.
Right?
Yep.
The straight and narrow kind of... you know, a kid is like a mouth full of teeth. And if you don't put those braces on there, they're going to grow wild and crisscross and they're going to be coming out through your lips so forth.
Awesome.
Now that's some kid. That's probably for most kids right there. But there is that other subset of kids.
Yeah.
And they're just born evil.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
they are bad.
They got nails for teeth.
They are bad, and you're gonna have to be on them like a hawk from the get-go.
But you know what I think is neat is that you said you play the bad cop. You're the one who brings the structure, you bring the discipline, you demand respect. And I think that's really important because if I've learned anything about having kids is that they actually feel more safe when they have boundaries.
The rod and the staff, they comfort me.
Yep.
They comfort me.
That's right.
Yep.
If
I see
just
a rod
let a kid
a staff,
be in charge,
absolutely.
They're going bananas. They're like, I don't know how to be in charge.
Give
I'm
me
a
rules.
Kid.
They
want
crave
the rules.
Rules.
So
they
I
need
bet
rules.
When they
structure.
See you, and here you are, you're the tough guy. You look like that scary guy. And I feel like you look like that guy in Breaking Bad who's the Mike. Right? Is that fair?
Oh yeah, right. The bald guy.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
Great.
I was thinking. That's it.
All right.
And I feel like they see you walk in, and they're like, "Whoa, that's that guy from Breaking Bad."
Okay, you guys figured.
Except for the mustache.
That is impressive.
Now, Phil. Yeah.
But I did start shaving the head after I started watching Breaking Bad because I thought that was a cool look.
Do you like him? Do you think that's a good character?
He's a real. He's a tough guy, and I think I mean. You know, he's given me a few tips, I suppose.
That's
now,
great.
Phil, I don't want to get too deep in or personal with your personal life because you do have a great story. The other night, Phil invited me over to his place to talk about a certain kid that I was thinking about transitioning down into Juvies for Jesus. So I went in, and his studio apartment is fantastic because it's probably 8 feet by 10 feet. It's got a single bed. No bed frame, a shaving sink, a mirror, several very finely shined pairs of shoes, that suit that he's wearing right now, and one thing on the wall, and that is a picture of Jesus.
Wow.
Yep.
And it just told me, and I said, hey, where are we going to, I don't know where we're going to work. And he said, you know, we're going to sit on the bed. And I said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
We sat on the bed and we went through these dossiers.
Yeah.
But I just thought, you know, this is what Jesus says. He says, you're going to live simply, right? And that's what this man is doing because he's in total service all the time.
Wow.
And he's got no time for all that other stuff.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, it is a Spartan living quarters.
Do you have TV? Do you watch television?
I don't have a television.
Oh, wow,
smart.
Good for you.
Smart.
Well,
you don't need that.
If I want to watch a game, I go on down to the tavern and I sit and I watch the game or whatever.
Smart.
But you're right. There's just there is a picture of Jesus Christ up on the wall. Formerly had a number of pictures of my deceased wife as well, but I found that I didn't want. I didn't want to be looking at them all the time, and I put them away in my dossier. I put them in a dossier, not one of the dossiers that I ultimately showed you.
And I did see where he keeps that dossier, and it's under a piece of it's on the little nightstand, but it's under glass. So you know, I'm not going to go It's basically in a sheet of glass, and well, you're not going to look at that.
I like it that all important things for you go in a dossier.
I love that.
Yeah.
Phil, I don't mean to pry, but how did you pass?
Your lovely wife. What happened?
What happened?
Yeah. It was very sad. It was a car accident.
Oh no.
Yep. A car, not her fault.
Oh,
okay,
well,
and that's
we gotta get rid of them. We gotta get rid of cars.
I mean, yeah, but better that it was not her fault.
Sure. For you to sleep at night, yeah.
Unfortunately, however, I had been tinkering with the car, and
all right.
And I'm a police detective. I'm not an auto mechanic.
Oh boy.
And, so you were basically were able to figure out how it happened, but you were sad that you had done that because you realized that it might have played a role.
No.
Okay.
I would not say might have.
Okay.
Played a role.
So
you think it was your fault?
Yeah, well,
don't
yes.
you carry that guilt? Don't you do
don't.
That? Don't take that
well,
on. You feel it was your fault?
Well, it's not that I feel that it was. It was
well,
my.
What did you do?
Oh, sure, on paper,
I tried to rotate the tires, and I took off all the wheels, and I switched them around. Just like shuffling a deck of cards, and I put them on in a different order.
I had no idea that could.
Yeah,
do
I
it.
Didn't know that affected the brakes or
order.
The engine at all.
Well, no, it didn't. Oh. It did not affect the brakes or the engine. I didn't touch any of that.
Oh, you just rotated the tires.
I rotated the tires. I did not do a great job at putting them on.
And, did all the tires
so
the just
wheels
pop
came
off?
Flying off?
All of them.
All four came flying off
while
it's
she
like
was
simultaneously
going down a steep hill. And in order to avoid hitting a house at a dead end, she spun out and went off into the woods. And,
a sacrificial lamb. She gave her life to save the people in that house.
No.
You know, we in Australia, we always say left for right, front for back, keep the tigies on the black.
Wow. Maybe you can use that,
yeah.
Phil.
Yeah.
In the future, if
that's
you're ever married
phrase.
Again
just,
and you want to rotate the tires.
Because we call tires tigies.
Oh, okay.
And the black is the pavement. So left for right, front for back, keep the tigies on the black. So
okay.
You never. So the next time you go to rotate a wife's tires,
yeah.
You can just remember that and they won't come
and
flying off.
Okay. You know
that's
what?
All right.
Honestly, Phil,
yeah.
This is just my personal belief system.
Yeah.
But I think it wasn't you. I think that God, our Father, was like, you know what? I'm ready to be with her now. I want to be with her and I'm bringing her home. And it was God. And God was like, God said, he let all four of those tires go flying up in the air like some kind of animated Cars cartoon.
Yeah.
And he wanted to bring her to his bosom and bring her into heaven. And you know what? She's looking down now saying, don't you dare blame yourself. God was calling me home.
You know, so, yeah, I hope so. I hope that's the case. But then the other thing is that you think that, if that's a story, then I don't know, that's kind of selfish on God's part, right? I mean, leave me thinking I killed my wife and you take her away from me like
that. Well, God is big enough to take the blame. And that way you don't have to carry it, you know?
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
And God is a selfish God. Put no other gods before me.
That's right.
You know, and selfish is sometimes a good thing.
Yeah.
You
when it
be
comes
selfish.
To God, it's a beautiful thing.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
It has
it's okay
to be.
If he does it.
Yeah.
Not
okay.
when we do it.
Yeah. That's probably a helpful way for me to think about it.
Yeah.
You know?
And I don't know where you're at and when you're ready, but when you are, boy, oh boy, do I love playing matchmaker. So if you're ready to get out of that studio apartment with a shaving sink and get into a home with a woman who's going to be your helper and your helpmate and your partner, and she's going to do your laundry, and you can get a king-size bed and have a full bathroom.
Right.
Well, you let me know.
Sure. Yeah, and I can always
go
look
to solo flight.
Right. I can look over here to Russ's.
Hey, we have plenty of room. Plenty of room, and I have great, great women I can introduce you to.
Great women?
It's all timing. Honestly, it really is about timing. May I ask you one question just out of curiosity?
Sure.
But that, I don't know what that's called that detectives wear around you. You have it around your shoulder, that leather thing that has the. Now, is that a real pistol or
that's
is that
real,
just a prop?
That No, that's a real pistol.
Now, what is that thing called that you wear around your.
It's just a shoulder
strap?
Holster.
Oh, a shoulder holster.
Yeah.
I love that.
I know a lot of girls who would think that that's neat. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'll keep it in
mind. Do you wear that off duty as well?
Well, I'm never on duty anymore.
Oh, so you
I'm
wear that all the time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I wear it at all times.
I like
wear
it because when you first came in and you had a sport coat on, I just was like, "This is a regular old guy." And mm-hmm. then you put your sport coat on the back of the chair. And then this whole time you've been sitting here with a shoulder holster with a pistol right in there. Or a pistol. What's the difference between a pistol and a handgun? Is that a handgun? What is that?
I thought you, right. Yeah, I think it's...
It is a handgun. Yeah. It's not a pistol.
Yeah, I think a pistol is how it lays in your hand.
Oh. Yeah. See, I love it. Fellas, do you feel like it's time to move on to mailbag? We got to get Phil in on this. We got to answer a question from somebody who's sending in a question and a spiritual query. Here we go.
Okay.
Dear Hallie and guys, it's been easy meeting people at Twin Hills, but then I never find them again. I'm assuming because of the size of the weekend services and events, any tips on how to make friendships that last past a weekend service encounter?
Oh boy, this is tough. Well, you know, we have over 10,000, I'm going to say 13,000 people here. You meet someone you love and you want to hang out with. Yeah. It's tough to reconnect. That's a great question. I know for me, when I started here, when I was not on staff, I immediately followed them on all social media. I liked everything they post.
Okay.
And then I just DM'd them until I got something back.
Yeah.
And a lot of times just go to everything that you're invited to.
That's
and say
great.
Whatever you see in the bulletin, whatever you see up on the screen,
that's
go.
Great. That's great.
That's great. You know, when I first started coming here, before I started working here, I had a really fun system where I would say, hey, guys, let's go meet over by Pillar 4. Okay, so Pillar 4 is going to be in the back of the auditorium. So what I would do is during the service, I would dip my thumb in a bit of ink and I would say, hey, I think we've got a connection. We would shake hands and I would press that thumb into the soft sort of back of the flesh of their hand.
Uh-huh.
Then what would happen, and I would say, hey, don't wash your hand. And they would go, all right.
Okay.
And I would say, meet me by Pillar 4 next week. And then every single person that I had done that to would show up at Pillar 4, and I would say, are you one of the thumbprints? And sure enough, they would have a thumbprint. And if they didn't, I would say, I'm sorry, you got to go.
Oh, that's so smart.
But that's how I came up with my first small group. Actually, small.
Really?
Absolutely. The Omega small group actually formed out of my thumbprint system.
Are you kidding?
Really
that's
cool.
So smart.
And we still meet every single Wednesday night.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah. Oh. So. Okay. I must have gotten confused. These aren't all women that you were pursuing romantically.
They, at the time, there were a lot of women, but it wasn't necessarily romantic. It was more spiritual because I'm single right now and I'm really too busy to date.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But in my small group right now, I would say the breakdown male to female is, I guess it's me, Leon Spinkus. It's the two of us, and then there are 40 females in the group.
I'll tell you what, I think that's a hard question. And you know what? I think everything is timing, and I think you really got to hand it over to God, and you got to put it in His capable hands. And also, you know what? I say follow your passions and the things that you're interested in. If you go pursue those things, somebody's going to be there who also likes those things, and that's a start, you know? Yeah,
that's
just
awesome.
Keep going. You got to be consistent. You got to keep showing up, and you can't lose hope, and you can't stay in bed, and you can't just keep ordering stuff in bringing food in on Postmates. You have to get out there. You just have to get out there and you have to let God do His work. But you know what? The Holy Spirit can't move unless you're out there moving.
Yeah. Well, and if you are using Postmates, you might see me.
That's right. You're doing Postmates part-time. Yeah. I love it.
But don't do it all the time. But if you do, say hi.
That's right.
And tip.
Well, fellas, I'll tell you what. Just like Elizabeth had to go check in with an OB doctor to find out if her geriatric pregnancy was really happening, we've got to check on out of here. You remember Elizabeth. She was the oldest woman to ever have a baby in
miracle.
The Bible.
Yeah, miracle.
It was an absolute
awesome.
Miracle, as is every baby that's born.
How old was she?
Oh, she was easily in her 60s to 100s.
Oh, easy.
Wasn't
in that range.
She?
Yeah.
She
I give her that spectrum.
And she was barren. Remember, this is a story in the Old Testament where God said, you're pregnant, and she laughed. And God was so offended that she laughed at being pregnant at her age that He made her mute until the baby was born. She couldn't speak a word. That's what God said. He said, you know what? I don't want to hear another word out of you, lady.
That's awesome.
And He struck her dumb for her whole pregnancy because she laughed. And I get why she laughed. You know, if you're geriatric and God says you have a, you know, it was just like what the Gabriel did to Mary. Gabriel came to Mary, said, you're going to have a baby. And she goes, okay. And she had the baby. God came to Elizabeth and He said, you're going to have a baby. And she said, ha, ha. This would be like if you went to Helen Mirren and said, you know what, Helen? you're going to have a baby and it's going to be blessed by God. She would laugh and she would laugh.
Right.
And God said, you know what, Helen Mirren? That's enough out of you.
Right.
Zip it.
Yeah.
Wow. Until the baby's born.
We were at...
It's going to be bad for the next Bond movie if she can't talk.
Yeah. We were...
What popped into my head, I'm glad he just made her mute instead of, messing up the wheels on her car.
That's right. That's right. That she got to keep her undercarriage flowing, that she got to keep that, that barrel, pumping. This has been a true treat and treasure, remembering how blessed we are, how anointed we are. Hey, please send a letter to our mailbag this week. I know you've got spiritual questions and queries. Send them in. We'll read them. We'll discuss them on the pod. We want to hear from you. Okay. Well, just like Rome wasn't built in a day, but somehow the entire universe was built in a week, we'll see you in 1 week.
Hey, Phil, can I hold that gun?
All right. Let me take all the bullets out.
Phil Barton was played by Paul Britton. You can follow him on Twitter at PaulBritton3 or on Insta at Paul Britton. I'm Holly Laurent playing Hallie Labonte. Ross Campbell is played by Ross Kimball and Gray Haas is played by Greg Hess. Our incredible producer is Ryan Countshouse. Follow us on your favorite form of social media and send a letter to our mailbag at megathepodcast@gmail.com. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you like the podcast, please support us on Patreon.
Hey, this is Betsy Stover.
And I'm Amanda Allen.
And we do a podcast called
Why Mommy Drinks.
Each episode, we have a guest and we all share a story of a time that our kids drove us to drink.
Parenting isn't easy, but it sure can be funny.
Listen to us on Campfire Media.
Why Mommy Drinks.
Campfire.